So we're holding on in the middle of the Mishnah of an hour. So we started talking. The Mishnah had mentioned a number of things, which you have Shtayim Sheinai, but two that I mentioned in the Pasuk, and we derive another two things from them, which we'll go through them in a little bit of more detail in the Gemara. Mainly, though, our Perek, and the next one I'm going to be focusing on the second one, which is Yudias Atumah Shtayim Sheinai, but the various cases where a person knows or doesn't know that they were Tomei and then ran into the Beis Hamikdash or ate Kodshim. That's going to be most of the subject of this perek and the next perek. Then Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, which is what's called Shavuos Bitui, where you make a Shavua that I did something or didn't do something, or I will do something or won't do something. That'll be the subject of the third perek. So we started talking about what are the cases where I printed out some tables to help us be able to follow what it says in the mission over here, and then I forgot to bring them. Not going to do that. We'll do that, I guess. But by that time, we'll be past this. But all right. Okay, so we have as follows. We may as well start over from the fourth line of the Mishnah. If you have, where to begin with, you knew that you knew, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara what you knew exactly. Is it you knew you were Tomei, you knew there's a concept that if you're Tomei, you're not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash, etc. We'll deal with that in the Gemara. But for the moment, if you knew at the beginning, if you also knew at the end, later on, you found out that indeed you were Tomei when you went into the Beis Hamikdash or whatever, the Helam Bintayim, in between there was a period of not knowing. When you went into the Beis Hamikdash, you didn't know that you're Tomei, or you didn't know that there was an Issur to do it, as the case may be. That is the case. That is the case where you have to bring a korban ola v'yored, where you bring a chatas whose value varies depending on what you can afford. If you can afford it, you bring a sheep. If you're poorer than that, then you bring two birds, one for an ola, one for a chatas. And if you can't even afford that, you bring an isara and a flower, the korban mincha.
Why do you need two?
We're going to learn in the Gemara, where we're going to learn from Sukkim eventually why you need both. But you need yediyah b'tchila and b'soif and helam b'ntah. What about Yeshva Yediyah B'Tchila V'Ein Bo Yediyah B'Sof? Suppose that you knew at the beginning. So for our purposes for the moment, we'll assume that Yediyah means that you know that you became Tomei. We'll see in the Gemara, we'll eventually get into the Gemara whether that's exactly what it means, but for the moment, let's work with that. So if he knew at the beginning that he was Tomei, V'Ein Bo Yediyah B'Sof, later on though, after he ate the kodshim or whatever, he never found out afterwards. He never realized afterwards that hey, I did it when I was tummy. Eventually, if he ever finds out, he's going to have to bring an oil of the earth. What happens meanwhile to protect him from punishment? Sir hanasa b'fnim. So the sir, the goat, that whose blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. We know there's a par and there's a sor, the par we're going to deal with later in the Mishnah, but the sor, whose blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Yom HaKippurim, as well as Yom Kippur itself, Tola, those two things suspend his punishment. So now he's not going to be punished min HaShemayim, meanwhile, in absence of having brought his own korban, Abshi Yivodala, until he finds out eventually, hey, I was Tomei when I went into the Beis Hamikdash or whatever, V'yavi ba'ol v'yored, and at that point he will bring his korban ol v'yored. His own personal carbon for that. How about another case? Ein ba yediyah b'tchila avo yesh ba yediyah b'sof. What if the other way around? He never knew at the beginning, so he never knew, for example, that he was Tomei. He went into the Beis Hamikdash. Later on, he finds out, hey, when I was in the Beis Hamikdash, I was Tomei, but he never knew at the beginning. So now there's never going to be a time that he can bring a carbon over the year because he can't go back and change the past. So what is mechaper for him? Sir Hanasa Bahut, so the goat whose blood is brought outside, meaning on the outside Mizeah. The Yom Kippurim, as well as Yom Kippur, Mechaper, those are Mechaper for him. Given that he's never going to bring a korban ola v'yored because there was no Yediyah B'Tchila, and you need Yediyah B'Tchila in order to bring a korban, then therefore the only thing that can happen for him is there's going to have to be one of the korbanos tibur is going to be Mechaper for him. Which one? We're saying, this is according to Rabbi Yehuda, Sir Hanasa Bahut and Yom Kippurim are going to be Mechaper. And how do we know that? Shenema, because the Pasuk says that now that Sir Anasa Bachut is one of the Korbanos Musaf. It's listed, there's two places in the Torah where it talks about the Korbanos of Yom Kippur. Well, two major places. One of them is Achrimos, which we read on Yom Kippur morning. The other one is in Parashat Pinchas, where it lists all the Korbanos of all the Yom Kippur. So in like every other one. And then in Parshas Pinchas, it describes the more or less what would be the regular korban musaf, similar to what you bring on every other yom. So the sar hanasa b'chutz is only mentioned, dealt with in detail or whatever in Parshas Pinchas. So it's part of the regular korban musaf, just like the seirim that are brought on Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov, which we're going to learn about later on in the Mishnah. So how do we know that that is mechaper? How do we know that is mechaper for basically the same thing as the one inside, and not exactly the same, because we said the one inside was for the case where he knew at the beginning and didn't know at the end. Here it's the other way around. He didn't know at the beginning, but he knew at the end. But it's still the same basic concept that's involving Tumas Mitzvah Shekodshav. We know that they cover the same thing. Shenema, the pasuk says Milavad Chatas Ekiporim. As the pasuk says, you have to bring a goat as a chatas, a regular chatas, that is, whose blood is brought on the outside of his mizbeach, aside for the chatas of Kippurim, which means the one whose blood was brought inside. But by comparing them, the chatas of Kippurim means the one special, the one unique to Yom Kippur, whose blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, it's making kind of a hekesh between them. Al-Masha Zemachaper, Zemachaper. It means the same kind of Avera that the one is a kapara for, the other one is a kapara for. Therefore, mahapnimi ein mechaper el al davar sheyesh b'yedia. Just like then, the one whose blood is brought inside in the Kodesh HaKadosh is only mechaper on something where there was yedia involved, where there was yedia at the beginning and just not at the end. Where, as we said earlier in the Mishnah, and we're going to learn later on in the Perek in the Gemara, that we know that that one only is mechaper when there's some type of yediyah, namely the yediyah at the beginning, and it's toila, until he finds out eventually and brings his carbon. So the afachitza, in the same one, the one whose blood is brought on the outside, is there a mechaper el al davar sheyesh b'yediyah. Same thing, it's only mechaper on something where there is yediyah, a different kind of yediyah, yediyah at the end rather than at the beginning, but a similar idea. The hekesh between them teaches us that those two chatoid, the one inside and the one outside, are mechaper for similar situations. One where there was yediyah b'tchila and not b'soif, and one where there was yediyah b'soif and not b'tchila.
But how do we still know that one is b'chutz and the other one
that's
is b'chutz?
Well, we know one is b'chutz and one is b'fnim because the pasuk says so. The one in Parshas Akrimos is described as b'fnim. The Torah describes over there how the blood of it is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkled in front of the Aron and then in front and then on the Parochas and so forth. And the other one is a regular carbon musaf, which is treated like any other carbon musaf.
So how do we know that applied one sort of yediyah b'tchila, and
so that's the thing. Later on in the Gemara, eventually we're going in the Gemara. Eventually we're going to learn limudim. For it. Daf Zayin, Daf Ches. But we're actually going to see in On Mishnah alone. On Mishnah is actually all the Shnayis and the Perek smushed together. But whatever, we're going to see in On Mishnah that there are actually different opinions about that one, what Sawyer is Mechaper for what? What Sawyer is Mechaper for what? We're going to see as we go through the Mishnah that there are different opinions about it. So we're going to see in the Mishnah that there are different opinions about it. So far we have the one that is b'fnim is mechaper, not really mechaper, it's toila for the case where he knew that he was tamei at the beginning of it. Then he forgot that he was tamei and went into this mikdash. And later on, he never realized that at the time he was Tomei. So then we're saying the one that's the Bifnim is toilet for him. It suspends his punishment for the time being.
Until when?
Until he finds out that eventually he's bound to find out that he was Tomei when he went into the Then he's going to bring his own curve in early the year.
And the one where he
didn't know at the beginning with, where therefore there's never going to be a possibility of him bringing a curve because you need Yediyah B'Tchila.
Right.
For that, we're saying the Sur Hanasa B'Chutz is Mechaper for him. How about another case where a person did not know at the beginning, did not know at the end, so he never knew that he was Tomei in the first place, then he went into the Bais Mikdash, and he never found out afterwards that he was Tomei. For that, the goats that are brought on the Yom Tovim and the goats that are brought on Rosh Chodesh, because every Yom Tov and every Rosh Chodesh, we say, we lay it on the respective days, we say it in the Musaf, on the respective days at each time, they look for the Mechaper. Yeah, these are all Korban HaSibur that we're talking about.
So he doesn't know about the Bris and Chaper.
Indeed. But nevertheless, it accomplishes a Kapara for him. It accomplishes a Kapara for him, yeah. Because, well, he doesn't know. So, yes. So again, every Yom Tov, every Rosh Chodesh, you have a Chatas.
Right.
But we always, you know, when you think about it, we say it in Musaf, we relate it in Shul, and have we ever thought, so what is this Chatas meant to be Mechapa for? Chatas is meant to be for an Avera.
Right.
Well, now we know. Now we know from our Mishnah that, so Divrei Rabbi Huda, that Rabbi Huda says that the ones from the Regalim and the ones from Rosh Chodesh are Mechapa for this kind of situation, where the person never knew that he was Tomei, to begin with, and even later on, he never found out afterwards that he had been Tommy when he went to the Bismuth official Eid Kachin.
Regalim and Rosh Chodesh.
Regalim and Rosh Chodesh, we heard it say. And Rashi explains on Amud Beis, the reason why you would need more than one is because, so let's say, for example, he did it sometime during Tevet, so fine, next Rosh Chodesh Shvat, then the Torban will be Mechapa for him. Let's say, on the other hand, it happened after Rosh Chodesh Nissan, let's say, well then, all he has to do is wait till Pesach, and then the Chatas will be brought on Pesach, and it will be Mechapa for him then. Reb Shimon says no. The ones that are brought on Yom Tov, sure, those are mechaper for what you just said, for the case where the person never knew Batchila and never knew at the end. But not the Seirim of Rosh Chodesh. So, says Reb Shimon, what are the Seirim of Rosh Chodesh? What are they to be mechaper for? That's for a different case. Till now, we were talking about a case where a person was Tomei and ate Kodshim, which were Tahar. What about when you have the other way around, a Tahar who eats Kodshim that are Tomei? Now, it is true, unlike the case that we discussed before, where the person is Tomei and entered the Bismikdash or ate Kodshim, where then he would be Chayav Kares, and therefore he brings the Korban or the Biyored, or you have the Korban of Tzibur, or whatever that I'm a Chayav
for him.
Obviously, if he knows, right, Kares can only be if he knows. But Lachatchila, if a Tahar person eats Tomei Korbanos, there is no Chayav Kares involved. So you would think maybe you don't need much of a kapara for it. No, Reb Shimon says that is the purpose of the Seirei Rosh Chodashim. The Tahar person eats Tomei Kodshim.
Obviously he doesn't know.
Whether he knew, whether he didn't know, whatever. Whether he knew, if he knew actually, then I think he gets Malchus. But whatever. The point is that the carbon of Rosh Chodesh is mechaper for him.
According to Reb Shimon.
Reb Meir, then we have a third opinion. Kol ha'seirin kaparosim shava. All the various goats that are brought as musaf. So the one on Yom Kippur, the one that's b'chutz, not the one unique to Yom Kippur, but the one that's brought on Yom Kippur like any other Yom Tov, as well as the ones of Rosh Chodesh, as well as the ones on Yom Tov. All of them kaparosim shava. All of them give the same kind of kapara. Al tumas mikdash v'kodshav. They all are mechaper for tumas mikdash v'kodshav, and for any of the three cases that we're talking about, both the case where he didn't know originally that he was Tomei, but he found out later, where he didn't have yediyah at the beginning or the end, or he was a tahor who ate Tomei kodshin. All those three, Rav Meir says, all three types of seirim for Rosh Chodesh, for Yom Tov, and for Yom Kippur are all mechaper on any of those three things. So the case where the person knew at the beginning and knew at the end and had a halem in between, there's no korban tzibur that's mechaper for him, he has to bring the korban out of the yard. Everybody agrees to that, says so in the pasuk. The case where he had to hit yediyah at the beginning and then halem in the middle and never found out at the end, that we said that the sur hanasa b'snim helps him for that for the time being. Everybody agrees to that also. Here we're talking about the sur hanasa b'chutz of Yom Kippur. So far we have three opinions. We had Rabbi Yehuda saying that the one that Bachut helped for the case where there was Batchila but not the Seif.
Right.
Rabbi Shimon had said nothing to do with he said that's the Yom Kippur one is for that, and the ones from Regalim and Rosh Chodashim are the case where there's no Yediyah Batchila or Seif. We had Reb Shimon saying that the ones for Rosh Chodashim are only for Tahar Shachar Tachami.
Right.
And we had Reb Meir who kind of combines, in a certain sense, Reb Meir combines these opinions and says all three of them are mechaper for all three cases. It really is a pity. I forgot those tables of mine. They would have helped make this much clearer. All right. Hoyer Reb Shimon Omer. So now Reb Shimon used to say, and we're going to be repeating what he said earlier in the Mishnah, but the reason we're going to be repeating it is in order because we're going to mention an objection that was raised against Reb Shimon and how he answered it. Namely, Hoyer Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon used to say like this: Seirei Rosh Chodesh mechaper al Torah she'achas Tomei. The Seir of Rosh Chodesh is mechaper for a Tahar person who ate Tomei Kodshim. The ones from Regolim are a different kind of kapara, the case where there was no yediyah at the beginning and none at the end, where he never knew that he was tovei, not before he went into the Beis Hamikdash and not afterwards. And the one from Yom Kippur, the one Bachus, helps for the case where he didn't know at the beginning, but he found out later after having gone into the Beis Hamikdash that he had been tamei at the time. So Rabbi Shimon says each of them has a different purpose, unlike Rabbi Yehuda and unlike Rabbi Meir. So where Rabbi Yehuda had said that Rabbi Meir had said they're all equal, Rabbi Yehuda had said there's two different types. There's the one from Yom Kippur on the one side,
right,
and then there's the ones from Regolim and Rosh Chodesh on another side.
Right.
Rav Shimon says that each one of them has its own different purpose,
right,
among the three things that we mentioned.
Right.
So, Omruloi, so they said to him, so it means generically the Chachamim, of course, but Rashi says specifically it means that it would mean that Rav Meir is telling him this. Rav Meir objects to him. He's not object, but he asks him a question. According to your logic, would it be allowed to use one, to use one of these animals at a different time? Let's say, for example, Marushi Yikruvu Zebazek. Can you use the carbon that should have been for one day on a different day? Namely, as follows. Let's say, for example, so you have, let's say, the one from Yom Kippur, the one that was supposed to be for the Musaf, for the Musaf Chatas of Yom Kippur. Let's say it got lost. So what happens? Well, the show must go on. So you get another goat and you bring it for a Musaf. What if this one turns up later? We're asking Reb Shimon, according to your opinion, would you now be allowed to hold over that goat and use it, let's say, for the chatas of the first day of Sukkot 5 days later? Would that be allowed? Amar lahem yikru. So Reb Shimon says, sure, you can be makor ve the chatas tibur.
You didn't have the kahana to makor.
No, it was lost before they offered it. The point is, it was designated for a chatas, but Rav Shimon is saying a chatas tibur is a chatas tibur. There's no difference whether it was designated for Yom Kippur versus for Sukkot versus for Rosh Chodesh or what have you. That's right. So the question is, Omrulai, so they said to him, Hoyol v'ein kaparos and shava, what are you talking about? Given that according to your svara, the kapara of them is not the same, because according to you, the one of Yom Kippur does one kind of kapara, the one of Sukkot does another one, and the one of Rosh Chodesh does a third kind of kapara. How could you say? In other words, that's why Rashi says it's Reb Meir pointing this out. Reb Meir is saying, I say that all of them are machaker on the same set of three things. So according to me, of course, sure, you lost it on Yom Kippur, you could use it on Sukkot, you could use it Rosh Chodesh, you could use it whatever. But according to you, that each one is a different kapara, how can you take it from Yom Kippur and use it for a different day? Amar lahem, so Reb Shimon answers, okay, but nevertheless, kulan boin l'chaper al tumas mitzvah shvakadshav. The bottom line is, they all do have to do with the concept of tumas mitzvah shvakadshav. So yes, it's true, there are different scenarios. Not even talking about chilah v'di'evet. Once you found it between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, go right ahead and bring it on Sukkot. You're arguing that according to my svara, it was meant to be for a different kind of kapara. Doesn't really matter. Tumas mitzvah kachrav is tumas mitzvah kachrav. Issues involving the tumah of the Beis Hamikdash or of the kachrim, it's all the same, says Reb Shimon. It's true, there are different scenarios within it. You have the case with his yudiyah b'tchila, the case with his yudiyah b'sayf, the case with his neither, the case of a tahar sha'achos a tameh. But Reb Shimon says, ultimately, it's all under the same basic heading. That you have issues involving making the Beis Hamikdash tameh, or coming into the Beis Hamikdash tameh, or eating kachim when you're tameh, or eating kachim when you're tahor and they're tahor. No, Reb Meir is saying they are mechaper for all these things. Reb Shimon is still saying that the one of Rosh Chodesh is going to be for the tahor shachas tameh. The one of Regolim is going to be where there was no yediyah at all. The one of Yom Kippur is where there was yediyah at the end. Each one is going to be for a different scenario. So if you have, for example, according to Reb Shimon, if you have, let's say, for example, a tahor sha'achos tameh, he is going to have to wait till next Rosh Chodesh to have his kapara. According to Reb Meir, he doesn't have to wait till next Rosh Chodesh. He can wait till Sukkot already, or Yom Kippur, whichever one comes first, will be mechaper for him. So Reb Shimon says, I'm saying that each of them is mechaper on a different scenario, but they're all scenarios within the matter of Tumas Mitzvah Shvakadshah. Therefore, they're interchangeable.
They agree in Okay.
So therefore, they're interchangeable in that sense.
In that sense, not
just from one Rosh Chodesh to another, but from Yom Tov to Rosh Chodesh, or from Yom Kippur to Yom Tov or whatever. In that sense, they're all interchangeable. In other words, if it was an animal, let's say, that was supposed to be an Ola, and then it got lost, and you want to instead use it for chatos or a shlomim or whatever. No, nothing new. You can't change it from one type of kedusha to another. But here, where it's not only the same kind of korban, because it's all a chatos, but they're all a chatos that have to do with the same general idea of Tumas Mishnah Kodshav, then Rav Shimon says, I don't have a problem with being makrivit on a different date than it was supposed to be.
Okay.
Then we have a fourth opinion. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishmoy. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says, in the name of Rav Shimon, a variation on what Rav Shimon was saying. Seir Rosh HaKadoshim Mechapin Al Achar Shachat Shom. Mishmoy means in the name of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav Shimon, and he said the following in his Rebbe's name. In other words, he had a different version of what his Rebbe held. So he learns like this. Se'ir Rosh HaKadoshim Mechapin Al Achar Shachat Shom. The Seirim of Rosh Chodesh, like Rav Shimon said, take care of the case of the person of a Tahar person who ate Tomei Kodshin, which in a way, again, is the most lenient of all the cases we're dealing with over here, because there's no kares involved in that at all. Even if a person were to do such a thing, the maximum he could get for it would be malchus, as opposed to the other cases where a person is tomei and goes into the Beis Mikdash or eats kodshim, where if he were to do it b'mezid, he'd be chayv kares. So the Seirim, Rosh HaKadoshim, take care of that most lenient case, like Rav Shimon says. Moisif alayim shal yonasa purim. Then you have the Moisif alayim shal regolim. Then Rav Shimon ben Yehuda says the ones of regolim are add on top of that. They're mechaper for the same thing. Shemachaper al torah shal hasami. The al she'en ba yediya lo betchila v'lo b'seich. And the ones of regolim also take care of the case where there was no yediya at all, which is the next most lenient thing, because the guy didn't know at all. He never knew at the beginning that he was Tomei, and he never knew later on that he was Tomei.
The first lenient thing was what?
So the Rosh Chodesh one is the Rosh Chodesh one is the most lenient. That takes care of Torah Shachat HaTomei.
Okay.
The ones of Yom Tov go up a step. They're mechaper for that as well. Again, like this, the guy shouldn't have to wait till next Rosh Chodesh. He can Pesach or Shavuos or Sukkot already. He can have his kapara. But in addition, they also take care of a case which is not covered by the ones of Rosh Chodesh, namely the case where there was no Yediyah at the beginning and no Yediyah at the end, where he was Tomei and went into this mikdash, or ate Kodshim, never knowing at the beginning that he was Tomei, never realizing afterwards that he had been Tomei at the time. Torah Shachat Tomei is a different thing. That's where he was Tahar and the food is Tomei.
Right.
He was the other guy. He's Tomei and the food is Tahar. Tomei and the food is Tahar, but he didn't know at the beginning that he was Tomei, and he never found out later on also that at the time I ate this food, I was Tomei. So that, so Rav Shimon ben Yehuda is saying, again, that the ones of Rosh Chodesh take care of one scenario, the ones of Yom Tov take care of two scenarios, the two most lenient scenarios. Moisif alei and shoyem to put him, then you have on top of that is the one of Yom Kippur, the sur b'chutz of Yom Kippur, the korban musaf of Yom Kippur, shehin mechapen al atar shachat tomei, ve'al she'en b'yediya le'betchila v'le'besayf, ve'al she'en b'yediya betchila v'yesh b'yediya b'sayf. So the one of Yom Kippur takes care of all three scenarios. So Rav Meir had said that the one of Yom Kippur takes care of all three as well. In that, on that detail, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda agrees with him. But they disagree. Rav Meir had said that also the one of Rosh Chodesh takes care of all three, and also the one of Yom Tov takes care of all three. And Rav Shimon ben Yehuda is saying, no, the one of Rosh Chodesh takes care of one, the one of Yom Tov takes care of two, and the one of Yom Kippur takes care of three. So we have four different opinions in the Mishnah of what Seirim take care of what. Among these three cases, the one where there was no Yediyah at the beginning, where he's never going to be bringing a korban over the yard because he has to have Yediyah at the beginning, the one where there was no Yediyah at the end either, so therefore he's completely shogig throughout, and the one where he was tahar, but the food was tahar. Those are the three scenarios, and those are the ones that the Tanoim at the four, that the four Tanoim over here are arguing which korban takes care of
all the others they agree on.
So they all agree if there was Yediyah of the Tchila and the Soif and Helam Ben Tayim that he has to bring his own personal korban Olav Yared. They all agree that if there was Yediyah of the Tchila and not the Soif, that the Sar Bifnim, the Sar whose blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, plus Yom Kippur itself, I'm going to suspend his punishment, but eventually he's going to have to find out, and eventually he's going to have to bring his own korban. And they also all agree, as we're going to say later in the Mishnah, about what happens if the guy was B'mezid throughout. We'll deal with that also. So the machloekas is about these three specifically about these three scenarios. Again, one where there was no yediyah at the beginning, but there was yediyah later on. One where there was no yediyah at all. And one where he was never tameh, he was tahor, but the food was tameh. Those are the three cases that the four tanoim are dealing with over here. Which
no
one is the happening
one?
No yediyah at all, or tameh shachos tahor, tahor shachos tameh. Okay. Again, Omruloi. So again, the Chachamim asked Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, according to your opinion, that you say that each of these three different types of sorer has a different kafara. The one from Ashchodesh does one thing, the one from Yom Tov does two things, and the one from Yom Kippur does three things. According to you also, Maushi Yikruhu Zebazet. Same question as we asked your Rebbe, Reb Shimon. If you were to lose the one that was supposed to be brought on Yom Kippur, and you found it before Sukkot, can you use it on Sukkot? And again, he said, yes, a chafas is a chafas. Omruloi, so they said to him, Imkain, if so, I can understand, according to you, Yerushal Yom Kippurim Kraven Berash HaKadoshim. Sure, I can understand, for example, how, let's say, you could take the goat from Yom Kippur, but was lost, and you found it before Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, let's say, so fine, you can use it for the korban of Rosh Chodesh. Because after all, the korban of Rosh Chodesh is mechaper, according to you, on one of the things that the one of Yom Kippur would have been mechaper on. So you're not trying to add any extra kapara that this korban is now going to have to bear. Aval, heyach shal Rosh HaKadoshim, kreven b'yem HaKippurim. But how can you say that the one that should have been brought on Rosh Chodesh, let's say on Rosh Hashanah, actually we'll talk a minute about Rosh Hashanah, but let's say Rosh Chodesh El, yeah, how can you bring in a kreven b'yem HaKippurim, l'chaf HaKappara she'en shalah, you're trying to impose on it a kapara that wasn't meant to be on it originally, because originally it was only going to be mechaper on one case of Tahar Shachal
the Tameh. Yeah, the one on for Yom Kippur, you can mechaper on Rosh Chodesh.
Because the Yom Kippur includes more than Rosh Chodesh, according to Rosh Chodesh. But they're arguing to him, according to you, the one of Rosh Chodesh only does one, the one of Yom Kippur does three. How can you take the same animal that was meant to only be mechaper, it should have been brought on Rosh Chodesh and be mechaper only for one thing, and you're instead going to bring it on Yom Kippur and use it to be mechaper for three things? How does that work? He says the same answer as Reb Shimon said. Fine, but the bottom line is they all have to do with the same basic category of Isra or Avera. So yes, it's still one can cover the other. Interesting question we got to ask is who is the halacha like in all of this? So the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayot says it's not relevant to ask who the halacha is like. Kapara is in the Eidishtin's hands. It's not something for Beis Din Shalmata to decide. On the other hand, in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam changed his mind, apparently, and Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. That we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have the one from Yom Kippur does one thing, and the ones from Rosh Chodesh and the Regalim do a different thing.
So they're not interchangeable.
So no, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, they're interchangeable. You can, because they're all within the category of Tumas Mitzvah Shekadosh. But the question is then what is the Nachimin at the Paskin the Halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? So one answer, kind of a Balabasha answer, I think Moshe Feinstein brings in one of his trubas, is you got to ask, what should the Koyan have in mind? He's shechting the korban. It's Negea, it's very Negea. But on the other hand, the fact is, even if he didn't, if he generically said, I'm shechting this as a chatos for the tzibur, that would presumably work. So that's not the full answer. So there is a very interesting point, which is like this. Rosh Hashanah obviously is on Rosh Chodesh. In the Beis HaMikdash, when they brought the Korbanos of Rosh Hashanah, did they also bring the Korban Musaf, and specifically the Sayer of Rosh Chodesh? So actually, let me rephrase that. If they brought the Korban Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, for sure, the Pasuk says so. Because the Pasuk says, Milavad Olas HaChodesh HaMenchasa, Va'olas HaTomid HaMenchasa. So there's no question, on Rosh Hashanah, they had to bring the Tomid like they do every day, they had to bring the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, the parts that are Ola, no question about that. The question is, did they also bring the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh? Or, since they were bringing the Chatas for the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah anyway, maybe they didn't need to also bring the one of Rosh Chodesh. That is where, therefore, the Pnei Yeshua and the Torah Evan talk about a Nakamina that could come out, therefore, from this Machalokas over here in our Mishnah. If we say like Rabbi Yehuda, that the ones of Rosh Chodesh and the one that, if we say rather like Rabbi Shimon and Yehuda, that the one of Rosh Chodesh and the one of Yom Tov have different purposes, then you would need to bring both.
Right.
If you say like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, the ones of Rosh Chodesh and the ones of Yom Tov have the same purpose, then there's not necessarily a need to bring both of them.
Right.
And that actually ends up being Negeah as far as Halacha nowadays also, as far as what we say on Rosh Hashanah in Musaf. When we mention the Musafim of Rosh Hashanah during when we mention the Karbonis Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, we mention over there the pasuk Milavad Olas Achodesh Umenchasa. So we mention that the Karbonis of Rosh Chodesh were brought as well, but we don't say anything about the Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh. And so in fact, the actual argument whether they brought the Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah or not is actually Machlokes Rishonim. Rabbeinu Meshulam and Rabbeinu Tam argued about that point. Rabbeinu Meshulam held no. Rabbeinu Tam never mind whether you say it. B'chlal in the Beis Mikdash, did they bring the Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? Rabbeinu Meshulam held no. Rabbeinu Tam held yes. Later on, Rabbeinu Meshulam changed his mind and agreed with Rabbeinu Tam. However, the Pnei Yeshua says on our Gemara, if we say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, maybe Rabbeinu Meshulam was right after all, because you shouldn't need to bring a korban a sawyer of Rosh Chodesh as well as a sawyer of Yom Tov if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they accomplished the same thing.
Right.
So Lamai says, what do we do in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? We do not mention the sawyer. Actually, we do. I think actually, now that I think of it, I think in our nusach, I think we do actually say Ushnei Tzidim Mechaper. So what do we do, Taka? I think in the Alter Rebbe's nusach we actually do say Ushnei Tzidim Mechaper. But there you go then. So, in other words, Rabbeinu Meshulam changed his mind and agreed with Rabbeinu Tam that the Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh is in fact brought on Rosh Hashanah as well, and therefore we mention both of them in davening. We say Shnei Seder Mechaper, meaning the Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh as well as the Sawyer of Rosh Hashanah.
Interesting.
Okay. Continuing the Mishnah now. Now Zoda and Tumas Mikdash V'Kodesh. Now, how about another case? If person was, and now
we're that's going to stay when Mashiach comes.
Unless they decide otherwise, unless the Sanhedrin of that time decides otherwise, but right now the consensus is that that's how it is, that both of them are brought. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, how about another case? If the person went into the Beis Mikdash Tomei or ate Kodshim when he was Tomei, b'mezid, till now we were talking about there was some element of Shogig involved. He knew at the beginning that he was Tomei, he forgot afterwards, he remembered afterwards, or whatever. Yeah, that was all. There was some sort of Shogig. Now, what if it was b'mezid throughout? Well, now, so if there was Hasra, he would get Malchus.
Right.
But if there wasn't Hasra, Sir Hanasi Bifnim, B'yema Kippur Mechaprim. Now we're back to the Sir whose blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That one, together with Yom Kippur itself, is Mechapr for him. So we have two cases that the Sir Hanasi Bifnim covers. One is where he knew at the beginning that he was Tomei, then forgot that he was Tomei and ate the Kodeshim, didn't realize afterwards. So we said the Sir Hanasi Bifnim is Toila for him. Now we have the other case where it's mechaper for him when he did the mezid throughout.
How can a korban mechaper the mezid?
He still has the tshuva, fine, but at least it saves him from karis, in other words. Okay. Al shar averus shabbat Torah. Now, what about the other averus in the Torah? Hakalus vachamuris, hazonus vashrogus. Whether they're lighter averus or heavier ones, or whether he did the mezid or the shogig, hoda v'loy hoda. Whether he knew about it or didn't know about it, we'll see in the Gemara later on what hoda v'lo hoda means. Doesn't mean necessarily whether he knew. The Gemara is going to end up saying later on your days, it doesn't mean hoda that he knew that he did wrong as opposed to what meaning b'mezid, and lo hoda means he didn't know, because that's the same as the zodin, and that's the same as a stone and smash struggle. So the Gemara is going to talk about later on what it means exactly. Anyway, Esther Veloyseth there, whether it's a mitzvah Esther or mitzvah Loyseth there, or Chrisis or Mrs. Bastin, or whether it's something that would make him Chayav Chorus or Chayav Mrs. Bastin, in cases where there's not going to be Mrs. Bastin because, for example, there was no Eidim Vasra or whatever. So in those cases, Sarah Mashalayach Machapra, all those kinds of things, the Sawyer that's sent off to Azazel, that is Machapra for those kinds of things. Echad Yisraelim ve'echad Kohenim ve'echad Kohen Mashuch. And that last statement applies to whether the person who did the Avera was Yisrael, whether he's a Kohen, or whether he's a Kohen Mashuach, the Kohen Gadol who was anointed with Shemen HaMishpat. Ma ben Yisraelim ve'lakohenim ve'lakohen Mashuach. So then in that case, what is the difference between, we know on Yom Kippur you had three because you had three times the Kohen Gadol did vidui on three different korbanos. On two different korbanos. One was he did vidui on the par that he brought. He first did vidui for himself and the Kohenim. First he did for himself and his family. Later on, he did for himself and all the Kohenim. Later on the same par, yeah. Later on the third, on the Shtaleach, before it was sent off to Azazel, he said vidui for the whole Jewish people. So evidently there is some kind of difference between himself and the other Kohenim and the Jewish people. So what's the difference if we're saying they're all covered by the Sarah Amish Shtaleach? The difference is like this. Elishap, par mechaper ala Kohenim al tumas pekusha kadsha. The difference is the par, the one that he brings the korban first, and again, he brings the blood of it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkles it over there. That one is mechaper for the Kohenim, not for any of their Averis. It's mechaper for the same kind of things that the third Apnimi takes care of for Yisurim, for Yisrael. Namely, we said before at the beginning of the Mishnah that for Yisrael who had Yediyah at the beginning and then Helam in the middle and then no Yediyah at the end, we said the Sur Bifnim holds off his punishment until he eventually discovers what he did wrong and brings his carbon. The same thing that does for Yisrael, the par whose blood is also brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim accomplishes the same thing for Kohenim. If they had been guilty of Tumas Mikdash HaKadoshim in such a way where they had Yediyah B'Tchila and Helam B'Tayim and no Yediyah at the end, then the par will take care of holding off their punishment until they discover it and bring their carbon.
The par for the
our Kohenim, al Tumas Mikdash HaKadoshim, specifically it's Mechaper for the Kohenim, specifically for the case of Tumas Mikdash HaKadoshim. The same scenarios that we said, that the Sur helps, that the Sur B'Tchim helps for Yisrael, the par B'Tchim helps for the Kohenim.
The big difference between a par and a seer.
Yeah, they're two different animals, fine, but they're two different carbonists. But other than that, they're mostly treated the same. I mean, they're both brought as carbonists. They're both brought as carbonists chatos. Both of them, the blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkled in front of the Aron, and then taken out and sprinkled in front of the Parochas, and so forth. Eventually, afterwards, the Kohen Gadol mixes the two basins of blood together and applies it. And then sprinkles it more, and then applies it to the corners of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, etc. So for the most part, they're treated the same, but they are different. They are different korbanos. Yeah. Reb Shimon says no. Kishem shadam asara nasu b'pnim mechaper al Yisrael. No, what it is like this: the same kind of thing that the same thing that the sara nasu b'pnim accomplishes for Yisrael kach dam apar mechaper al Kohenim. So also does the power do for the Kohenim. In other words, fine. I agree with you, the Tanakhama, that when it comes to Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, that the Yisraelim are covered by the Sarah and the Kohenim are covered by the power. However, you're saying that other than that, for any other Avera that a person does, everybody, Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim are all covered by the Sarah and Mishtaleach? No, says Reb Shimon. There's also a difference. Kishem Shavidduye Shal Sarah Mishtaleach Mechaper al Yisrael, just as the vidui that the Kohen does, that the Kohen Gadol does on the Sarah Mishtaleach, is Mechaper for the Jewish people collectively, for the Yisraelim, that is. So also the vidui that he does on the par, not the sprinkling of the blood of it. The sprinkling of the blood, in other words, Reb Shimon is distinguishing, there's two different factors with this par. He says you have the vidui and you have the actual sprinkling of the blood. The vidui, he says, mechaper al kohenim. That is mechaper al kohenim for all of the aveiros. Then later on, the blood of it is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkled over there. That is specifically mechaper for the kohenim for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav. Remember, you have the Kohen Gadol does three vidui. He does a vidui on the pyre for himself and his family. And so later on, he does a vidui on the same pyre for all the kohenim. So now, the Tanakhama had said that power is mechaper on the kohenim specifically for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav.
Right.
The Tanakhama doesn't distinguish between the vidui and the sprinkling. According to him, it's all part of the same process.
Right.
According to Reb Shimon, no. The vidui covers all of the aveiros, other than Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav. Later on, he brings the blood of that power and starts sprinkling it in and out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That takes care of the Kohenim's Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav. Meanwhile, the Yisraelim, their Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav is taken care of by the Sarah Hanasa B'Fnim, and their other Averis are taken care of by the Sarah Mishtaleach.
The Sarah
Mishtaleach? The Sarah is the one that's central to Azazel. And that's the point. And that's the point. Rashi says. I mean, when you get down to it, you see that the sur amishtaleach. There's no sprinkling of the blood, right? Because it gets taken to Azazel and thrown off over there. So obviously, the only thing that helps with the sur amishtaleach is the vidri. Well, by the same logic, Rav Shimon says, therefore, it has to be that the vidri on the pyre itself accomplishes something independent of the sprinkling of its blood.
So now, kind of explain.
So we'll get to later on the parak. We'll run it. Now we just had over here. We had over here, for whatever reason, the printers decided to put together all the mishnayos of the parak, all jammed together over here at the beginning of the parak. We had that a couple of times in Sanhedrin as well. So now we're going to have the rest of the parak. The next 12 blocks are going to deal with all the ins and outs of our mission. So first of all, the Gemara says, let's consider, as the Gemara sometimes does, the Gemara wants to investigate the order of the Masechta. Mechti, let's consider Tana mi Makas Solik. The Tana has just finished teaching us Masechta Makas. Maishna de Tani Shavuos. Why is he continuing with Masechta Shavuos?
Why is continuing with
Why is Shavuos an appropriate continuation after Makas? Now, Tosfos points out, and a number of other Rishonim point out, we have a famous concept that says Ein Seder the Mishnah. There's not necessarily the order. The order is not necessarily significant between the Masechtas. Tosfos says, though, that means that Rebbe, when he taught the Masechtas, didn't necessarily teach them in the order in which we have them. But eventually, somebody had to arrange them in order, so the Gemara can still ask the question why they were arranged in this order. Different other Rishonim talk about different possibilities. The question can be, for example, I think that Ramban says this. Why specifically, among all the things of Shavuos, why are we beginning with the cases we started in our mission of Shavuos, Shtayim, Shein, Arba, which we're going to say later on, is talking about the cases where the person is Chayav HaKorban? Wouldn't it be more appropriate as a continuation of Makas to start with the cases of Shavuos where a person is Chayav Malkus for a full Shavuot or whatever?
Much more.
Yeah, so you have different explanations like that of what the Gemara's question is exactly. Yeah, the Rimi Gash says another thing, I think. He says something like, not necessarily is it true. We don't necessarily know the order of all the Masechtas, but we know, for example, certain pairs of Masechtas. We know, let's say, for example, Shavuos and Makas go together. Does that mean do they go before or after Sanhedrin? Let's say that. We might not know, but we know that those two go together. Okay. So the reason is like this. Mishum Tani, because we learned at the end of Makas, we learned about the case Chayev al Roshtein, that if a person shaves off his payas, he's Chayev twice Makas. Achas mikan v'achas mikan, one for each payer, one on one side, one on the other. Vala zoka, and if a person shaves his whole beard, then he's chayev five times. Shtayim mikan v'achas milamata. You have two spots on one side, two on the other, and one below, which we had that diagram I brought in the other day that showed all the different opinions of the Rishonim, what the five spots are. So that in those kinds of things are cases where chodin mechayev alo tarti. Those are the kind of things where you have one thing, one avera, one hatsura, where a person can be chayev multiple malchus for. Because we said over there, let's say for example, a person shaves his beard with one hatsura, he's going to get five malchus for it. By the same token, then our Mishnah begins with a kind of thing where you have Shavuos, two types of Shavuos, which wind up being four, meaning a similar kind of thing, like you have a similar kind of thing that you have, for example, one Isser that branches out into several other ones.
There's less similarity between one that gets two than between the cases of Malkus.
It's not exactly the same thing. That's true because you don't necessarily have all the Shavuos at one time, but nevertheless, it's still, we're going to say later on that you
one
could,
classification.
Yeah, it's one classification. Actually, the Chassam Sofer says an interesting thing, that specifically when it comes to payas, he says you really can have Shtayim Shein Arba. We learned a few days ago at the end of Makas that you can have a case where a person shaves off his own payas, where then he's chayev for being the makif, or his own beard for that matter, he's chayev for being the makif and for being the nikif, for being the one who does the shaving and the one to whom it's being done.
Right.
So therefore, you have Shtayim Shein Arba, literally. You have two.
No,
but the point is, you have two payas, but he ends up getting four malchus. One for doing one pay as a makif, one for doing that one pay as a nikif, one and the same thing for the other one. So you really have Shtayim Shein Arba, much like our mission. Okay. So that's the reason for the order. Okay. Next, we got to ask like this. We mentioned in our mission of four cases where you have four dinim where you have Shtayim Shein Arba. We said Shavuos, Yedias HaTumah, Yitzias HaShabbos, and Maris Negoyim. This is the only place where we have all four of them listed together. So the question is why? Maishna Gabi Yitzias Shabbos and Maris Negoyim to like a Tony Lulakulu. When we start Masechta Shabbos and we say Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba with Nim, We don't then go and mention, by the way, you should know there are also Shavuos Shtayim Shein Abba and Maris Negoyim Shtayim Shein Abba. In the second Negoyim also, it begins in the Maris Negoyim Shtayim Shein Abba. It doesn't mention, by the way, there are also the same thing with Shavuos and the same thing with Shabbos and the same thing with Yedias HaTumah.
So why
Dabka over here? It doesn't list all of them in those places. Why Dafka? Does it list the entire list of four things? Dafka over here. The answer is Amri. So they answer like this. Because the cases of Shavuos, of one specific type of Shavuos, that is, well, I should say two types of Shavuos. Okay, so I mentioned yesterday briefly, but I didn't get really into the details of it. You have the Torah, you have basically three types of Shavuot. You have other ones in the Drabbanon, which we're also going to deal with later in the Masechta. But in the Torah, you have basically three or four types of Shavuot. You have Shavuot Bitui, where a person makes a Shavuot that I will do something, or I won't do something, or I did do something, or I didn't do something. You have Shavuot Eidos, where a person goes and tells people, you know Eidos for me, I'm making you swear that you will come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf. So Shavuos Eidos. Then you have the cases of Shavuos involving Dini Mamonis, involving a Pikadon, where you're claiming that something happened to. So you have Shavuos Bitui, Shavuos Eidos, Shavuos Pikadon, and you have the Shavuos of Toyin Venitam, where one person has a monetary claim against them, which is also a type of Shavuos. It's related to Shavuos Pikadon.
Right.
Whatever. Two of those are dealt with back to back in Parashas Vayikra. Namely, the Shavuos Bitri and the Shavuos Eidos, because right after that, the pasuk continues. So you have those are two cases, and the third one is Tumas Mikdash V'Kadsha, where if a person is over on those, they will bring a korban Ola V'Yorin. So therefore, Shavuos V'Yedias HaTumah the Gabi HaDodik Sivan. So Shavuos, meaning two of the cases of Shavuos, Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Bitri, which and Yedias HaTumah the Gabi HaDodik Sivan, they're mentioned right back to back with each other in the Torah. They're all at the beginning of Perakei Vayikra. The Damian Ahadodi Bekorban Olav Yerid, and not only that, they're similar to each other in that in both cases you would bring a Korban Olav Yerid if you were over on it. Therefore, Tony Lehu Gabi Ahadodi, so therefore, once our Mishnah started by saying Shavuot Shtayim Shein Abba, it right away wanted to continue Yedias HaTumah Shtayim Shein Abba, because they're adjacent in the Psukim and they're very similar in that you bring a Korban Olav Yerid for both of them. But I did a ton of Tauti, and once it mentioned two out of them, ton of Kulu, then it, by the way, also mentioned Shabbos and Negoyim. Whereas by Shabbos, there's nothing else that's similar to it. By Negoyim, there's nothing else of these other ones that's similar to it. And therefore, it didn't bother listing the other ones. Tosfos points out, actually, that in a way, Maris and Negoyim have a slight similarity in that when it comes to Negoyim also, you have different levels of korban that the person brings. If the person is rich, he brings one type of korban when he's healed of his tzaraas, and if he's poor, he brings a different type.
Right.
The difference is, Tosfos says, there's only two levels over there. By korban olav yerid, there are three levels. So it's not really the same kind of thing.
Three levels meaning?
Meaning, again, you have if he's rich, then he brings an animal as korban, a sheep. If he's not as rich, he brings two birds. He's in the middle, he brings two birds. And if he's dalos, if he's really poor, then he brings a korban minchah. Whereas by Masurda, you don't have that. So either you're rich and you bring animals, or you're poor and you bring birds, and that's it. If you're too poor to afford birds, tough luck. Yeah.
You have to save up money.
You'd have to save up money for it. But the point is, therefore, so Negoyim are not really at all similar to these cases of our Mishnah, where you have a korban olav yerid, where you have three levels, where by Negoyim you only have two. And Shabbos isn't similar to them at all, because by Shabbos there's no korban olav yerid at all. You either chayev stila, or you chayev a chatos, and if it's a chatos, it's a fixed value chatos.
Okay.
Olav
yerid means?
Olav yerid means it goes up and down depending on what you can afford.
That's why it's called
olav yerid. Okay. Next, the Gemara asks, here's another question. Pasach b'shavuos u'mafarish yedias HaTumah. What's going on? The Mishnah began with the words shavuos shtayim shein abba. You would expect, therefore, the next thing it should start doing is explaining to us the dinim of shavuos, and instead it digresses to yedias HaTumah, and then the whole rest of the parak, and the whole next parak is going to be dealing with yedias HaTumah.
And not shavuos.
The answer is, I did a zutrin milayhu, yes, but it's like this. The details about yedias HaTumah, relatively speaking, are not that big. They only cover two parakim. Therefore, posik shari lahu. Therefore, he like cuts them off and releases himself of them. In other words, like he disposes of them in these two prakim as soon as possible. V'hoda tani shavuos inefficient milayu, and then he gets back to shavuos, which has much more detail to it. Which, I mean, you have, there's a number of different types of Shavuos. You have Shavuos Bitter, it only takes up one Peret Gimel. But Shavuos in general, after Shavuos Bitter, we have Shavuos Eidos takes up another Peret, and then the different other Shavuos Pekodin, and whatever takes up the next four Prokim. So altogether, in aggregate, Shavuos takes up most of the Maseches.
This is the only time we spoke about Tumah.
This is really going to be, that's not the only place we speak about Tumah, but this is the only place. Yeah, this is the only, this and the next parak are really the major places in Shas where we talk about this whole matter of Yediyas HaTumah. This question of when you bring a korban and a korban over the Yerdet, and when you don't, for Tumah's Mitzvah Shekodshei. This area over here, these two Prokhim of Shavuot, is the place that discusses it, basically. And it's touched on in various others, touched on briefly in Chrysos,
right.
Whatever, but this is the major place, yeah. All right. Now let's get into. So now we've dealt with the now we've dealt with kind of the side questions of why our Mishnah is structured the way it is and why it's located where it is. And by the way, I don't know if it's true of this particular one. There's a number of similar sugyas that you have in different other places in Shas where the Gemara starts off by asking about the positioning of the Masechta and the exact wording of the Mishnah and whatever. And those things were added by the Rabbanan Tzvaroi. When they re-edited the Gemara and gave it its final form, they added those kinds of things. I don't know whether this that we just had over here is one of those also, but it seems kind of similar in structure, so maybe. Okay, so now getting into the meat of the Mishnah. What does it mean, Shavuos Shtayim Sheinah? But when we said in the Mishnah that you have Shavuos are two, which are four, what are the two and what are the four? So like this, Shtayim, the basic two, which is what it says in the Pasuk, is she'oichal v'shaloyoichal, means the person makes a shvur that I will eat or that I won't eat. And this is the Pasuk says, the person makes a shvur, lahora oy lahetzi, to do bad or to do good. To do bad to himself, for example, meaning by fasting, or to do good by indulging himself. So that's the, so those are the two. Those are the two, again, in the third parak, we're going to deal with the details of these. But for right now, those are the two that it says in the Pasuk. What are the Shehen Arba? What are the other two, making a total of four, that we can deduce from those? Ochalti v'shaloy ochalti. You have the other, you have the parallel ones where the person makes a shvur that I ate something when he really didn't, or that I didn't eat something when he really did. So therefore, so you have two that are explicitly in the Pasuk, and we deduce from those another two. What are the ideas of Tumah Shtayim Sheinah? But when we say that the ways of knowing about Tumah are two, which are four. So Shtayim, again, you have two that it explicitly says in the Pasuk, Yediyas Tumas Kodesh, Yediyas Tumas Mikdash. You have the case where the person knew that he was Tomei and then forgot that he was Tomei and ate Kod Shimma, went into the Bis Mikdash, where the Pasuk spells those things out. Shehein Arba, and then you have Kodesh or Mikdash, then you have the other two that we can deduce from it, is he didn't know, he knew that he was Tomei, but he didn't know that this was Kodshim. Or he knew he was Tomei, but he didn't know this area is the Beit Mikdash. So those are the four altogether. Two that it explicitly says in the Pasuk, and two more that we deduce from it. What are Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba? When you say there are Yitzias Shabbos, takings out from one Rishus to another on Shabbos, are Shtayim Shein Arba. Yeah, like the Shtayim, the two that it, the two again. Rashi had mentioned on the Mishnah. You have like this. The Pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to take out from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. We learn it from the story over there by the Mishkan, where the people came to Moshe and said, "We have too much donation," which, by the way, is not something that has ever again happened in Jewish history.
We have too much to give.
Yeah, we have too much. The people are giving more than we need for the malach of the Mishkan. So Moshe makes an announcement that the Vayitzav Moshe Vayavir Pil B'machne. He says, from now on, nobody should be doing malacha for the Trumas HaKadosh, and the people stop bringing. The Gemara explains in Shabbos what kind of malacha is Moshe telling them not to do. The malacha of carrying out on Shabbos. In other words, Moshe is telling them this kind of thing, which you can do during the week. On Shabbos, make sure you don't do that. So the Pasuk is explicitly telling us that you have a concept of you're not allowed to carry out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Therefore, so you have two cases in that. You have the case where the Oni, representing the person standing outside in Rosh Hashanah, takes something from outside, from inside and schleps it out. He takes from inside to outside. And Haitzah, the Balabayas, where the Balabayas standing inside the house takes something from inside and puts it down outside. Shehein Arba, how do we get two others from that? Hachnosa Doni, Hachnosa the Balabais. Just as much as it's also to take out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, so it is also equally also Midaraisa. We're talking about, I'm not even dealing with the cases of Rabban, to take in from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah. So you have two other cases. You have where the Oni is, Hachnosa Doni, where the Oni stands outside and takes something and puts it inside the house. And Achnasa de Balabayis in the case where the Balabayis takes something from outside, reaches out to the outside and takes something and puts it inside. So that's two which are four.
It's interesting. You never have a case of the Ani being inside.
No, well, we use Ani as a shorthand for the person standing outside, and we use Balabas as Balabayis as shorthand.
Okay.
So obviously, the same thing would apply if the Ani is inside and Balabayis is outside, but that's, we're using that as shorthand instead of having to say each time the person standing out in the Rosh Hashanah, the person standing in Rosh Hashanah. But Bar Tanura, actually, on the Mishnah and Shabbos over there, says an interesting thing. He says the reason why the Mishnah puts it, the Mishnah over there in Shabbos, first Mishnah of Shabbos, puts it in terms of an Ani and an Asher, is to teach us, by the way, if you were to do this on Shabbos, you'd think you're doing a mitzvah. You're giving the guy tzedakah.
No.
Nevertheless, it's still also. It's a mitzvah ba'al ba'aveira. Okay.
Wow.
Fine. What are Maris Negoyim Shnayim Shein Abba? We said the Maris Negoyim are two, which are four. Tosfos, by the way, had pointed out, here it's Shnayim, unlike Shtayim, the other ones, because Mar'eh, of which the plural is Mar'ois, is Lashon Zachar. The other ones, Yitzia is Lashon Nekeva. Yedia is Lashon Nekeva. Shvua is Lashon Nekeva. Shnayim is Lashon Zachar, yeah. So Maris Negoyim Shnayim Shein Abba, the Maris Negoyim are two which become four. What is that? The basic Shnayim are Se'eth Ubaharis. The Pasuk in Parashas Tazria tells us there are two basic types of Saras, Se'eth and Baharis, which are different shades of white. Shein Abba, because you have Se'eth V'Toldasa, Baharis V'Toldasa. You also have, the Pasuk mentions in that connection, the Pasuk mentions called something called Sapachas, which sapachas is not a third type of nega, it means an off shade kind of, an off color of se'es or beheres. So you have a bright type of white, which is called a beheres, and a duller type of white, which is called the sapachas, which is called the tolda of beheres. Same thing with se'es, you have a brighter type of white, which is se'es, and you have a duller type of white, which is the sapachas, the secondary color of se'es. So therefore you have two, which become four.
That's midaraisa.
All this is midaraisa. We're talking strictly daraisa. When it comes to saras, anyway, there isn't really much of sarabonim. Pretty much everything in Hilchos Saras is daraisa. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Now that we understand that, let's move on to figure out which Tana does our Mishnah go like. Mani Masnissin. Which Tana does our Mishnah go like? Loi Rabbi Shmuel, v'loi Rabbi Akiva. It seems that our Mishnah does not go like Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. And they're the only ones who we know that have a machloikus about the dinim of helim, of helim involving tumas mikdash v'kotshav. Namely, Rabbi Shmuel, if you're going to say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't work. Later on in our Masechta, when we get back in the third parish, when we get back to the dinim of Shavuos Bitturi, Rabbi Shmuel learns over there, he says you can only be chayev for a Shavuos Bitturi, only for a Shavuah for the future. Meaning, he would say, in other words, if you made a shvuah, let's say that I ate such and such, and it turns out you didn't eat it, he would say you don't bring a korban for that. You can get a malchus for it. We'll discuss later on, but you wouldn't. Yeah, no, because it's in the past. Because he made a shvuah about the past. Only if he were to make a shvuah for the future that I'm going to eat this bread, and he ends up not eating it, or vice versa, that is when he would bring a korban. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't have Shtayim Sheinah, but you don't have four scenarios where you'd be bringing a korban. You only have two.
It's very logical. Why would you make a shvuah on the past?
You could. You could have a korban. So who ate this loaf of bread? I swear I didn't eat it. Or whatever. You could have, for whatever reason, a person could make such a shvuah. Yeah.
Is it really a shvuah?
Sure. Yeah, as long as he uses the proper formula of a shvuah, as we're going to learn later on. Yeah. Okay. So our Mishnah doesn't seem to work according to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And if you're going to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, well, then you have a problem. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you have a problem with the Shavuot part. If you're going to say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, you have a problem because Rabbi Shmuel says you're only chayav for Shavuot for the future.
Right.
And our Mishnah implies that you're also chayav for Shavuot for the past.
By saying what?
Because our Mishnah said Shayim Shein Abba, implying... And Tosfos points out, we didn't have to say, we could have said, you could have four scenarios of Shavuos in the future. Because you can have Shavuos, Lahorai Lahetiv, I will eat this or I won't eat this. You can also have Shavuos for the future that have nothing to do with doing bad or good. I will throw this rock into the ocean or I won't throw this rock into the ocean. However, Tosfos says, later on, when we get back to Shavuos, Shtayim Shein Abba in the third Perek, the Mishnah is going to spell out over there that the four that are implied in our Mishnah that two of them are for the future and two of them are for the past, Achalti and Loy Achalti. So once we have that, we know that our Mishnah, therefore, doesn't seem to work according to Rabbi Shmuel. Because again, according to Rabbi Shmuel.
It's
Right, okay, but fine. The point is, you have neutral things. Ezra, Lo Ezrak is a neutral thing.
Lo Ezrak is already a negative.
No, but it's not now. Lahora means to do something negative to himself or to other people or whatever. Yeah. Ezra Kisra Layam is not in and of itself a negative thing.
It's negative. What do you say? Negative Ezra Kisra Layam.
Is not negative. No, Ezra Kisra Layam. No, Bentin is saying that on the face of it, Lahora Lahetiv would mean I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. But that's not what it means. Lahora means I'm going to do something that is detrimental to me or to somebody else. And Lahetiv means I'm going to do something that is good for me or for somebody else. Ezra Kisra Layam or Loy Ezra is neutral, it's neither good nor bad.
Right. Yeah.
And therefore, so again, you could have understood our Mishnah as talking about such things. However, once we have the Mishnah in the third parak that tells us that the four cases of our Mishnah are Ochalti, Loy Ochalti, Oichal, or Loy Oichal, all having to do with the two having to do with the past, two having to do with the future, then it means achalti implies it is the past.
Okay.
Then it doesn't work according to Rabbi Shmuel. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're not going to be chayav a korban for all those four cases, only two of them. E Rabbi Akiva, and if you're going to say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, then you have a problem with the Yediyah and Helam part, the Trumas Mikdash Rekadja part. Namely, because Ha'amar, Rabbi Akiva says later on, at the beginning of the next parak, Al Helam Tumah Hu Chayev, the Ein Chayev Al Helam Mikdash. Rabbi Akiva says you're only Chayev if you didn't realize that you're Tameh. You're not Chayev if you're not Chayev the Korban if you didn't realize that this is the Beis Hamikdash. Or Kodshin.
Only have a Helam on Tumah.
What did we say before? We said that, no. So we said like this. When our Mishnah said Yediyas HaTumah Shtayim Shainab, we just spelled out what are the two and what are the four. You have where the person forgot, okay, he had Yediyah at the beginning, Yediyah at the end, whatever. He forgot that he was Tomei and he ate the Korban.
Right.
He forgot that he was Tomei and he went into this Mikdash. And then we had the other two are he knew that he was Tomei, but he forgot this is a Korban. He knew he was Tomei and he forgot that this is the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Akiva, you wouldn't be Chayev a Korban for the last two cases, or at least not for the last case where you didn't know that this is the Beis HaMikdash. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have all four scenarios.
And therefore?
So our Mishnah can't be like Rabbi Akiva either.
Right.
So who is it like?
Okay.
So the answer is, he boy same Rabbi Shmuel, he boy same Rabbi Akiva. No, you can actually say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. You can say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel, because when he says that there are four scenarios, he doesn't mean you chayav a korban for all four. He just means mehem l'chiyuv or mehem l'ptur. He means some of these four scenarios you're going to be chayav a korban for. Some of them you're not. They are scenarios. Rabbi Shmuel agrees that it is possible to say to have made a shvur that I ate this and you didn't eat it, or vice versa. He just says you wouldn't bring a korban in those cases, so that's how he darshens absurd. So the scenario still exists, just you don't bring korban at all then. By the same logic, you could say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. Again, mehen l'chiyuv, mehen l'ptur. Again, same thing. Rabbi Akiva can mean. Of course, there are four possible scenarios, but only two of them would you bring a korban for. The other two, you would not. And the question is, what do you mean l'ptur? What do you mean l'ptur? What do you mean that some of the cases in our Mishnah could be cases where you're going to be potter from bringing the korban? Hadrumya demaris negoyim katani. We mentioned them in the Mishnah in connection with, we said, we had all the different things that are Shtayim Shein Abra. One of the Shtayim Shein Abra things is Maris Negoyim, is the various shades of Tzaraas. And shades of Tzaraas, Mahasim Kulu L'chiyuva, all four shades of Tzaraas make a person equally Tomei, and afterwards he'll equally well up bring a korban.
So then you're not
sure. Yeah, there's no ptur. Afa hanami. So therefore, when it comes to the shavuot and it comes to the yediyas hatoma, it has to be that all four involve a korban.
Right.
Now, how can you tell me that Rabbi Shmuel that our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Shmuel and only two of the shavuot are chayav a korban and two are potter, or it could be like Rabbi Akiva and two of the yediyas hatoma are chayav a korban and two are potter? That doesn't fit with Maariv Negoyim. Tosfos points out, by the way, the Gemara could have equally well asked, what about Yitzias HaShabbos, who equally well chayav skilo or chatas or what have you,
sure,
for any of the four Shabbos.
Right.
Tosfos says the reason why the Gemara didn't do that is because later on on Dahei, the Gemara is going to try to figure out how do we know that all of the four cases, how do we know that the Yitzias HaShabbos that we're talking about are all the ones that are chayav midaraisa? We know it because it's in connection with Maris Negoyim, where again, when it comes to Negoyim, there's very little, if anything, that's Dirabama. Therefore, the Gemara didn't ask from Shabbos, because Shabbos itself we need to prove from the Goyim.
Shabbos, the proof comes from
the proof that all the four Yetzias HaShabbos of our Mishnah, all things that are Chayav Midaraisa, comes from the Goyim. Yeah. Okay. Alright. So the answer is the Gemara says, well, Olam Rabbi Shmuel. No, but after all, you could still say that our Mishnah still could work according to Rabbi Shmuel. V'chiloy mechayev Rabbi Shmuel, l'sha'ara korban. When we say that Rabbi Shmuel says, you're not going to be chayev if you made a shvua that I ate this bread and you didn't, or vice versa, that I didn't eat it and you did eat it, Rabbi Shmuel is going to say you're not chayev. Rabbi Shmuel is going to say you're not chayev a korban, fine. But if you did it b'shogeg, but Avon Malkus, chayev mechayev. But if he did it b'mezid, then he sure he would get Malkus.
What happens the
b'shogeg? That's what we're saying. So according to everybody else except for Rabbi Shmuel, we would say whether it was la'ava or la'haba, either way, if you did it b'shogeg, you're going to be bringing a korban over the yored, and if you did it b'mezid, you're going to be getting Malkus. Rabbi Shmuel is going to be saying that if you did it b'mezid, you would get Malkus in all four cases. But if it was b'shogeg, only in the cases la'haba, will you be bringing a korban? If it was l'sha'avar, if you made a shavua, I ate this bread, and really you didn't, and you didn't realize at the time you made this shavua that you actually had eaten it, then Rabbi Shmuel says you'll be potter from a korban.
So there is a case of two.
But that's true as far as a korban. He'll still say there is a chiyuv in all four cases as far as malchus.
So you would,
in other words,
without bringing a korban, is that
okay? There are two different cases. The korban is if it was b'shogeg, the malchus is if it was b'mezid.
Right.
Rabbi Shmuel says it's not that every possible case where you could get Malkus if it was B'mezid is a case where if it was B'shogeg you would bring a korban. No, there are cases where if it was B'mezid you'd get Malkus, and if it was B'shogeg, nothing. Namely, the cases of L'shava. The cases where you made a shavua about something in the past which turns out to be not true.
Right.
Okay. Av Malkus, chiyuv v'mechayev. So Malkus, you will be chayev in such a case if they gave him asra. V'chidurava. And in other words, this statement could be going like Rava. The question is, in other words, Rashi says, the implied question is, isn't it a lav she'en ben ma'aseh? If you make a shavua, for example, if you make a shavua that I did eat this bread and you didn't actually eat it, there's no ma'aseh involved. How are you getting malchus in that case? The reason why that works is kiddur Rava. The reason why it works is because it's like what Rava. The Amar Rava, the Feirush Ribsa Torah Shavuot Sheker Dumya de Shavuot Trav. The Torah explicitly states that the Torah gives explicitly a ribui that a Shavuot Sheker is just like a Shavuot Trav. Now, a Shavuot Sheker is a Shavuot Trav is, for example, that a person makes a Shavuot on something which is clearly untrue. Rashi will that would be a Shavuot Sheker. There's a Shavuot Trav. Shavuot Shav would be, for example, that he's looking at a man and he says, "I swear that this is a woman." So he looks at a rock and says, "I swear that this is gold." That's called a Shavuot Shav. It's a worthless shavuot. As opposed to a Shavuot Sheker, is the definition of a Shavuot Sheker is one where it's not immediately obvious whether it's true or not, and it turns out to be false. So Shavuot Shav is one where it's obviously false.
It's a nice word, a man, and this is a man.
That's a different kind of Shavuot Shav that we'll deal with also later.
Also Shav.
That's also Shavuot Shav, yeah. So Shavuot Shav is either where it's trivially true or trivially untrue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as opposed to a Shavuot Sheker is where it is a Sheker, but it's not immediately obvious. So Rava says like this. The Torah is marba that the same rules apply to a Shavuot Sheker as a Shavuot Shav. Rashi says we learn that from the fact that the Torah twice mentions in the pasuk over there Shav. Loisi says, Shem Hashem alakecha l'shav, ki lo yinaka Hashem eisa sheyisa shmei l'shav. So because it mentions twice Shav, and we don't need twice Shav, so therefore we use one of them instead for a Shavuot Sheker. We use one of them to apply to a Shavuot Sheker.
So the first one, shav, means shav.
Shav means trivially true or trivially false. The second one means checker, yeah. In fact, Targum, I think the Targum on the pasuk actually translates them differently. I think he translates the first one as vain, and the second one as false. Anyway, Tosfos brings differently. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hanano that what it means is you have in the Dibris of Rishonis, in the original version of the Aseret Dibris in Parshas Yisrael, it says by a different one of the Dibris, it says Loisana Bereacha Eid Shoker, don't testify falsely against somebody else. In the second Dibris, it says in Parshas Vayetzchanan Loisana Bereacha Eid Shov. And therefore, that teaches us that Shav and Sheker are synonyms. Or not synonyms, not synonyms, but at least that they have the same dinim
so
as far as Shur. So not the twice Shav, like Rashi says, but rather the fact that we find that Shav and Sheker are sort of equated in a different one of the dinim.
Who says that?
Rabbi Nachman Tosef says that, Rabbi Nachman says that. Okay, so therefore the point is, Ma Shav l'Sha'avar, just like a Shavuot Shav can be on something like Sha'avar, if you were to say that this person who just walked by, who really is a man, is a woman, that would equally well be a Shavuot Shav, as if you're saying about something in the future. There's no difference with a Shavuot Shav, whether it's past or future. Af Sheker Nam with a Sha'avar, the same way, when the Torah is Machayev Yumalkus for Shavuot Sheker, that can also apply to one the Sha'avar, to one about something in the past. I ate this bread and you didn't really eat it, or vice versa.
If it's an androgynous and he says this is a man.
An androgynous is something else. That's different.
What would it be?
So then, I mean, you have different opinions, whether an androgynous is both a man and a woman or neither a man nor a woman. So, okay, it might, if it's a Shavuot Sheker, it would be a Shavuot Sheker if it's not so obvious. But it would probably depend on the different opinions. I don't know. We may deal with that later in the Masechta. I'm not sure. But anyway, so that's Rava is saying. This that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that you don't bring a korban for a shvuas sheker the sha'avar, that's only as far as the korban. When it comes to malchus, if it was b'mezid and there was asura, you're equally well chayev if it's l'sha'avar as l'haba. So therefore, again, on Mishnah when it says shvuas shayim shein arba, and two of them are in the past and two of them are in the future, can be according to Rabbi Shmuel, not like we thought originally that it meant that we're talking four cases where you would bring a korban for a shavua, where you did it for shogeg, but rather four cases where you will get malchus for a shavua, for a shavua spitri, because you did it for maybe. Okay, well, we'll continue tomorrow, Rabbi Shem.